Welcome to Divine Intervention from Dark to Light. I'm your host, Karen Young, and I'm also a spiritual teacher. The purpose of my show is to gather experience and give voice to the untold stories of the divine and how the divine intervened in your life and made a difference. I have questions. Have you ever experienced a dream of wonder and warning, divine healing, felt intuition, voice of a higher power? Been touched by an angel? Have you ever had a near-death experience or had a vision that resulted into divine intervention? If so, I would love to hear from you at 1-888-627-6008, 1-888-627-6008. And I like to say this is a non-judgmental environment. This is a healing space. Telling your stories could possibly heal yourself and others. And I always like to say that there is a higher calling on your life, because there is. Okay, so tonight's topic is this. And I probably had a show about this on spirituality, but it's come up again for me again. So sometimes you can hear some topics are, recycle them and talk about them again, because either I have more insight or I'm led by the spirit to talk about them again. But tonight's topic is, are you betrayed by religion or are you betrayed by God? And I'll just say this, betrayed by religion, not by God. Okay? I'll just say it like that. Have you been betrayed by religion and not by God? That's a better way of saying it, because I have experienced this. So I'm not talking about these people. I'm talking about all religion. And I'm not saying religion is bad, but it's a certain audience I'm talking to. I'm talking to all the audience, but it's a specific audience I'm talking to that's been hurt by their religion, like myself. It's been hurt by a priest, pastor, or someone, a figure that we all look up to, a bishop, or somebody that you knew as a child that, I just get right in it, abused you or hurt you in some way, or, you had these experiences, just as I have, where the preacher or the bishop or whoever went wrong, something happened, where they had just got so big, or they was drunken in power and they hurt you. And that's why I want to say that you were betrayed by religion. And I'm not saying all religion. I'm talking to the ones that's betrayed by religion and not by God. And let me explain myself. I mean, I want to say that we're in these churches, or we are going to church, or whatever it is that we're doing. We praise the preacher. We put the pastors and the priests and the bishops, or whoever they are, we put them on pedestals. We look up to them. I mean, we believe every word they say. And I'm not saying a lot of them, do mean well. I'm not talking about those. Well, you say my pastor's not that way. Okay, fine. I'm not talking about your pastor. I'm not talking about the priest that's good to you and good to your family, that really got goodwill in his heart. If he does or she does, then God bless them. They will be blessed and move on to teach their mission the way it's supposed to be. But I'm talking about the ones that still, and even them, even at that level, I mean, I believe that, there's masters. I believe that there's our enlightened people. I believe that there are people that's here on earth to teach us, and they have, have an insight. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that people have been hurt all around the world on some religion or another. I mean, where we put, like I said, we put, them on the pedestal, and we believe every word they say. I mean, everything they do. I mean, we want to believe in something that we see. I mean, we really, some of us really don't believe in something that we can't see. So it is a good thing that, you see in them, they talking about the word and you can see them. And it's kind of human to understand that, you know, you can latch or attach yourself to it. But I'm thinking guys have gotten out of, been out of control for centuries and for years. And for since the beginning that we put men on a pedestal that we think that is of God. And we all is of God. We all can find God. My thing is finding your own spirituality. I've talked about this before. But I mean, and then you hurt by it. You don't know where to go. And I'm just speaking this way because this happened to me and it's happening to millions of others. And you almost, what made me not go so far away from God, because you can put religion with God and with your church with God. And when it fail you, and I say religion fail you, which men will fail you because they're not perfect. But when they fail you, you end up, you know, kind of turning on God. Like, why did that happen to me? And I was almost there, but my mama, she always reminded me, she said, we believe in God. Even if the preacher go wrong, she did, you know, say that. Even if the preacher go wrong, if everything, you worship God. And that's what kept me. My mom, she was religious, and she was kind of there. Like I said, I was in a, I'll say a cult, okay? Just to break it down to you. So those who've been in a cult can, you know, relate to me, or been in a church that's controlling, where they control your clothes all the way down to what you do, you say, and they, you know, they call it God, and then they put God on it and put more control on it. Okay. They say that, you know, different colors you can't wear, and God got all kind of colors. I had to come up to the real, the truth about everything. But I'm telling you, when I was young, and when you're born in it, I mean, this is all you know. This is all you know. And I'm not saying it was all bad because of this. I'm the way I am. But I am want to make a point that we put these preachers and these priests, all these people on pedestals. And they don't supposed to be on there. Even if they are enlightened, even if they are telling you the truth, we feel like, you know, our prayers are not as holier. We feel like we can ask them to pray. Ain't nothing wrong with asking them to pray for us and our family, you know, preacher, pastor, whoever, reverend, whoever, pray for me and my family. That's fine, because the more prayers go up, it's fine. The more saints or whatever, the people in the church pray for you, it is more powerful. But to just think that they can only pray for you and that your prayers, I'm telling you, in my church, they thought this bishop, I ain't going to say his name, was everything. And he told us I was, we was like filthy rags. Our prayers was like filthy rags. And he was the best. And he would pray for us. And then he would also abuse us in speaking and everything. Used to curse. And I mean, that's why I'm saying men don't need power. They need God. And once they get all this power, they get drunken on power. And they start controlling the whole organization. You'll find out they're sleeping with, you'll hear it. I mean, this is not the first time. I just want to address it. That God did not portray you. Religion did. Or your church did. But it wasn't God. And I'm trying to explain why. Because we put these people in a place where they're not supposed to be. We put them way, way far. And they can't handle that either. That's not where they're supposed to be. And so God is always showing us. And so I have to let you know through my experience, and I don't know who else experienced this, because I know I'm not the only one. It's people been sexually abused or just been slept with all through the religion. I don't care what the religion was. And I'm not trying to, you know, badmouth religion. I'm just keeping the record straight. If you got a good religion and you're doing fine in your church, fine. God bless you and bless the ministry. But I'm talking about my experience and other people's experience that didn't, that then they cannot really fully go to a church or fully, me, I, with my experience, even though, you know, I know in my heart, guys, I know in my heart, all of nothing is wrong. I don't care what it is. All churches, it's not, but if there are some that's not, all cops, so all of nothing, all cops are not wrong, but you got them cops that are. So I'm talking about those religion or those that was high in power or those that was that are pastors or in a high place, as we put them, that use the power to abuse and get money. The bishop that we grew up with, he was so rich, he had gold bars and stuff. He started talking down to the saints. He didn't start out like that when I was younger. I mean, it appears to me that, I'm not saying that, but this is what power did to him. He didn't start, I don't believe he even intentionally probably started out the way it was. But people started praising him, giving him everything, doing everything he said. They don't even question. You got to question, I don't care who it is. When they give you orders or tell you what to do, you have to question. I don't care. That's the priest of the priest. I don't care who he is. If he's telling you something that don't agree with your spirit and it doesn't agree with common courtesy and love and harmony with the church and coming along with the Bible and all the teachings of the Bible and the good things that you're supposed to be doing in church or wherever your religion is, in Catholic or whatever you're supposed to be doing. If he's taking the boys and they come back with questions or whoever, or they tell you they want to counsel with you and counsel you as a husband and wife and they only want to counsel the wife and she ends up doing something and he's saying, but God meant for us to do it and put God in it and put this, you know, thing together and you end up having sex with your pastor or whatever. And he's saying, God meant this is how God gonna heal you. And you don't have your own mind. You're just saying whatever they, you know, believing whatever they say. But, you know, somewhere in your mind and your spirit, you know this wrong, but you're listening to them or her or him. And this is what I'm talking about today. This is what I'm conveying to you today, that it wasn't God that betrayed you. Now, yes, it was supposed to be in a religious environment. Yes, it was set up. And maybe in the beginning, it wasn't like mine. I don't feel like, and I don't know because the church was going on before me. But it appeared to me it was always controlled. It was always controlled by men and telling us what to do and what we can't do. And it was so bad that we called it the kink church. You couldn't do anything of pleasure like play ball. You couldn't compete. I mean, it went beyond just, you know, the religion. It was just like a control thing before I was born. But a lot of the men like it because they had women in check. And a lot of them felt like they needed to be in check. But it's still, you have to have common sense with your own spirituality. I don't care who they are. They're still men. They're not of God. And they don't, you know, you don't have to do everything they tell you to do. You say, wait a minute. No, I don't want to do this. This is not going along with my spirit. I'm not. And if they tell you differently, well, oh, well, walk away. But you have everybody is in a brainwashed situation. But that's the priest of the priest. I don't care. He's the Vatican. He's the this. He's the that. He's a man. He's a person or she. Whatever. Whatever the case may be. Reverend, whoever. If they're, you know, viewing your situation in a different way than it's supposed to be, other than kindness, compassion, harmony, trying to counsel you in the right direction, praying for you in the right, in your family, doing those things. This bishop that was with us, he had so much money. I mean, he was always passing the tray around all the time. And we have millions of people, and it looked like millions of people, but we had a lot of churches and a lot of people coming to different conferences. And it was just a lot of money involved. And he had got so arrogant, guys. He was saying, somebody stole my money. Now, it got so much, I guess the people who was counting it got greedy. And he found out that they were stealing the money. But he wasn't saying the money for the church. He wasn't saying the money, you know, for everybody or stole our money. He had got so bold, guys. He was saying, they stole my money. Okay, I mean, because he knew he had them, and he would have us up. I'm just telling you my story, and I probably said this in another one, but I'm just saying that God did not betray you. Men did. Religion did. And so what I'm saying is, you get so frustrated, you say, I don't believe in anything. You got these people right now because they're so hurt. Somebody hurt their son or their daughter, had sex with them, went the wrong way, stole their money, or you seen things and you just put a blind eye to it. You're a sister, or you over the secretary, or you're working in the environment, but you just put a blind eye to it. You're not supposed to. You see things with your eyes. You know what's going on. They're sleeping with different people. They're sleeping with different sisters, and they're married. And they're looking at you, but they get up every Sunday and preach. Nobody says anything. They continue to keep their kids going to that church. And my parents, I was looking at them. And I was young when he started acting up. I think I was around maybe 10 or 11. Prior to this, I was all in because we were serious then. I was a serious spirit then. I didn't just come the way I came. I came as a spiritual being in the beginning. I knew God early on, you know. So my parents told me about God, and then my spirit knew God. So I came in with this knowing of God, okay. And so the family I was in, we didn't play. We really actually prayed. We meditated. We really did everything that the church told us to do. We were serious. We was, you know, saying we were going to go to hell if we didn't do it. We repented a lot. I mean, I was a serious girl. I mean, young girl. I think I'm more childlike now than I was when I was 10 and 9 and 8. I'm a child now as far as laughter and openness and everything. Well, it might seem that I'm real serious now, but I'm not. I'm more playful than I've ever been because we were so, everything was so strict and serious. It was, you know, don't play. You can't, you know, be in a competition. You can't do this. You can't do that. I was in sanctification, sanctified. And it was always so rigid. And so that's not spirituality. That's religion with rules. And I'm not saying ain't nothing wrong with religion. Religion points you the way to God, but it don't always have the right instruction. And it points you, but, you know, if it's correctly done, it points you in the right direction, in the right way. So I'm not giving religion a bad name. I'm just saying what my experience is and what a lot of people experience is around the globe. Okay? So it's just not my experience. Okay? And it's people that go to church every Sunday. And they know what's going on. And they continue. Them and their husband, their family, they say, go to church. Yeah. Yeah, go to church. You know, worship. And we were serious. And I just want to tell you how serious we were. We were serious. They had us fasting. And we did it. I think it was Wednesday and Friday. And then the pastor, the bishop. And he didn't even live in Illinois. He lived in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so he would come every July. But we would listen to him sometime live on the broadcasts and stuff like that. And so he came up with, when he came, I think in 75, that we would have a 40-day fast, okay? And I just want to let you know that, you know, when people put things upon you, but when you're a kid, you got to go along with your parents. So I don't really, blame myself for going. I'm just saying, when you become adult, you better pay attention on listening what it is that's going on in your church, in your parent, wherever you're going. You pay attention. What's being said, and not put a blind eye. What's being done, how it's being done, and keep your eyes open, not for nothing evil, but don't shut it down if it is, and pretend like it's not happening. And don't pretend with yourself, because you can't fool yourself, and you can't fool your spirit, and you can't fool your intuition that's telling you something is wrong. And even that when I was a girl, but see, it didn't start out. So I just want to say it didn't start out like that. I felt in my spirit, you know, I was serious because my parents were serious, both of them. I mean, they were on the same page. They wanted strict. They wanted religion. They wanted to be God. They wanted to do what God wanted them to do. Fine. I was all for it because I was born in it. Fine. We did this all the way up until I turned 10, 11. So he comes in at 11. when I was 11 years old and come to the youth conference in Chicago, and he said that there's going to be a 40-day fast. And I'm like, my parents saying, okay, it's going to be a 40-day fast. I think the 40-day fast is from July to August or whatever, the 40 days. You have to fast from sunup to sundown. That means you got to get up at 6 when the sun come up, and then you can't eat until 8. Now, you know, the sun don't go down until probably about 8 o'clock. So you're starving all day. And see, we were so serious, guys, the kids in my family and my sisters and brothers, we were so into this. When our parents said it, we went to school hungry, fasting from 6 a.m. To 8 o'clock, okay? And, I mean, we'd be starving. You couldn't drink water. You couldn't eat. And we, you know, and some kids, you know, you would say, okay, some kids, you know, if they're in school and if their parents are not watching, okay, they may would take, get something to eat, candy, or behind their parents' back, don't know what wouldn't hurt them, you know, that type. We weren't those kind of kids, I'm telling you. We didn't go to school and cheat or anything like that. If the kids had candy, I was like, no. I didn't eat lunch. It was serious business for me because I was into it. And my parents, they told me this is what we had to do for 40 days. We did it. But it wasn't just that one year. It started being an annual thing, okay? Every year. Now, I started at 11, I think 10 or 11, but every year after that, but then... He got belligerent, and, I mean, first it was all holy, you know, maybe the first 2 years or something, you know, we're fasting. He would, you know, say we're going to pray, meditate. But I noticed that he was meditating. We were meditating, and got to be careful. I meditate today, but I'm just saying, he was meditating us, but he was also getting our minds, too. I'm just saying, because he's talking in the meditation, but I'm telling you, we were being brainwashed. Now, I'm just going to say that. I'm just going to put that out there. We're being brainwashed through the meditation, if that makes sense. That's my feeling on it. That's my feeling on it. Because this man was like he couldn't do wrong. And so he got to where he, you know, wouldn't. So he the first 2 years, I mean, it seemed holy. It seemed like this is the right thing. We're going to do this. And then all of a sudden, it just looked like he changed. We will be waiting for him to come down to speak the word because he was supposed to be the bishop. And he told us there was no other church like this. This is the right church. We believe that, which is, I don't believe none of that. I don't think there's a church is the right church. God is it. And he's not stuffed up in the church. And he's too grand, too big, too enormous, whatever. That's not a name for it. He's just for God. God is everywhere and everything. He can appear in church, and I'm not saying he's not in, but to say that we were the only church and only right church is baloney, and it's bull. And any other church is not the only. God has a variety of where you can reach God anywhere, diverse. You can reach God anywhere, at home. You don't even really have to go to church. Now, you have some might not agree with me. You really don't have to go to church to find God. It's another way of doing it. That's a good alternative if you want to feel God. I feel God in church all my life, you know, up until that point. And since then, you know, God is in churches. But he's out of church. He's in churches. He's everywhere. So is God a building? No, God has always been here, and that's my point. Before us, before the Bible, before all of this. But let me get to my story. So, all right. He started not coming to the services. People waiting. I mean, and we were waiting for hours. 8 hours. Could y'all believe it? 12 hours in the church. Nobody was going home. We were waiting for him. He was supposed to be the man of God. He come in. It seemed to me to be high or something. Okay, he come in and he started. He knew how to play the piano, but he just stopped playing the piano. Started making noise. He found out no matter what he did is what he found out. No matter how I act, these people going to follow me. His head got so big, so he got so powerful to himself that he became abusive. Abusive. And my point is, when you see that man, my story is probably outrageous, but it's a low key on a lot of levels in other churches that they had have gotten big. It may not have gotten to that extent where mine is, but I want you to pay attention. And I'm not saying pay attention to it. I'm just saying if you see some, you know, don't ignore it. I'm not saying normal things, the normal stuff. We ain't perfect. You all know what I'm talking about. This is outrageous. He started cursing. He started playing the piano. That's why I think he started getting high or something, because he just started acting up. And as we came around to pay our tithes and stuff like that, my mother came around because, you know, we were sanctified. And he said, another long-ass dress. I'm telling you the truth. I want you all to pay attention to just because they're bishops or preachers or whatever. And these people, I mean, and I looked around me, even when I was younger, I'm looking for the adults to tell me. And I used to say, Mom, I don't understand. I don't understand. And she used to say, you know what she told me? She said she didn't understand, but my mother was scared. She had been in this church all her life, and my father was scared too. They don't know where to go. You know why they didn't know where to go? Because they felt God was in the church. They thought God was in the church. No, God is not only in the church, but everywhere. And if you see where God is really not in this, whatever that's going on, where he's everywhere, but, you know, not in this spirit of being, and that you're being abused in some kind of way or being disrespected in your family and the congregation is being disrespected, you know, no. Don't stay. But my parents stayed. All my cousins, they all stayed. They made excuses, you know, and the adults, they just sat there. I mean, they were paralyzed. This wasn't like the church the way it was before, but now it was becoming something else. So, guys, it can start off right, but if it's going into something that your spirit don't agree with, you need to leave. Even if you got to leave and get another church, go to another church to deal with your spirit. You have a right to do that. You have a right to do that. Or you have a right to not go at all and search God in your own spirituality like I did. You have a right to do that too. You have a right to question any and everything, and God ain't nervous about it. Because it's not of God. If it's true and it's right, it's going to be right of God. It's going to be truthful. You're going to hear the right words and the truthful words, and you're going to feel right about them. You know, you're not going to get it. Got so bad where my brother, you know, we went to church. People admired us. They knew we were sanctified. And some of them really wanted to come to our church. But I'm telling you, toward the end, we didn't want to invite nobody. That's bad. You know, and my brother was like, they want to come. He was like, I'm not encouraging. And we used to have our conversations. My brother, my sister and I, we're getting older. And we started having conversations with one another because we couldn't talk to our parents. They were they were just so invested, I'll say. They were invested. They had been there 30 years, you know, because my mom was 30 years old when I was born or something, 35. So they were invested. And when you so invested, you don't know what to do. So you don't even want to, that's like anything. You don't want to question because you know you might have to do something different. And so if you don't have the headspace and you don't know who you are, because you cannot know who you are in religion. People think, oh, yeah, they say God every day. No, you cannot know who you are and be lost in religion. Let me tell you. I know it. Yes, you can. You can go to church every Sunday and don't know where God is. You don't have a clue where he's at. You know where the church is. You know all the things that your church do on a habitual basis. You know where everything is in the songs. The songs is going to be everything is familiar. That's fine. You're doing the same ritual, but are you really in contact with God? Do you know where God is within you? Do you know how to tap into God yourself? And so they didn't. and we didn't, and they didn't know how because they were so invested. It didn't start out that way. It started out maybe strict, but they could deal with the strictness. But it then, to me, the strictness was out of control, because that's somebody telling you, that's out of control, telling you how to be in control and want to control every move, have the women wearing certain clothes and everything, have them all dressed in a certain kind of way, which, you know, God is really looking not at your clothes. God is looking at your spirit. He's looking at your soul. He ain't looking whether you have a red dress on or not. But they were looking at you if you had a red, you couldn't wear red, you couldn't wear any jewelry, you couldn't, this was just the kink church. You couldn't do anything. So anyway, I got on to about 13, and I just want to say, you know, we questioned, we had meetings, me and my sisters and brothers. One of my sisters said, I'm leaving. She said, we saw him, we witnessed some things. We witnessed a lot. We went on to Philadelphia. We saw him throw my cousin out. We saw him throw an older woman out. And I'm not going to tell you what he said that she needed on the way out, you know, but he was saying some crazy stuff. And so we started having meetings among ourselves. And one of my sisters said, no, she said, I'm getting out of here. This is crazy. She told me, she said, I'm out. And I was scared. And me and my brother was scared. Me and my sister was scared. My mother hadn't left. My father did pass away. He did pass away at 78 or something like that. So we were getting on into the 80s. But when he passed away, he was confused. I could tell. I could feel his spirit. And I'm just going to say it. I feel like my father passed away because he didn't know what the next step was. And I think that I hate to say it, you know, in some ways I feel like, and I ain't saying always, he had a heart attack, but I feel like he passed away because he didn't know the next step. He didn't know what to do about that. He seemed very confused and conflicted within himself. And all the parents and all the people were conflicted because, I mean, they had conflict within themselves. And so did the children. But some parents told their kids that everything was okay. This was where we're going to stay in. But my mom used to say, I don't understand either. So my mom did have some headroom, but she didn't know where to go. But she would tell us, drop us some jewels and stuff. Like she'd always say, but just, you know, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. You know, she said, and not in men. So she's like, you know, even if the man go wrong, you believe in God. So she dropped some jewels on us where we had a little headspace. I can't say that on all the kids that have headspace. A lot of them was told and was brainwashed in the stands, stay no matter what type of thing, you know. So that gave us headroom anyway to decide that we're going to. But what really did it was, guys, right in the middle of in eighth grade, something happened with, and y'all may be too young, or some of you old enough to know, I don't know, but there's a guy named Jim Jones, and you might have heard him, and he took all his flock to Guyana, and he controlled them, was having sex with him, the kids and all that. He controlled, and they gave up all their homes and everything to go to Guyana with this man, this preacher, that they put on a pedestal. He said that God told him. Anytime somebody say God, come out of their mouth, don't mean that. It's, you pay attention to not what they say, but what they're doing. Okay? And so, anyway, this what broke me, and this what merged me into the story that I'm telling you. When I heard that in eighth grade, it reminded me of what we were going through. And this man had all this control. And I'm looking on the news like, wow. You know, it sounds like some of the stuff we're in now, that abuse. And he had told them in the end that God, he wanted to control them, and they wanted to go home. It's a whole lot of them. They wanted to go home. And a Senator Ryan or something came down, and I don't know if y'all know the story, but came down to Guyana to see all these complaints and if these people were living, but they were living in terrible conditions. And the first night he said, everything is okay, you know. He had them programmed to say everything was all right, you know. And the senator was like, I thought you all was having problems. He said, it looked like everything is okay. Senator Ryan and a couple other people from the White House, I don't know because, you know, I was young. But and they was like, everything was okay. But while he was leaving, people was tapping, telling him, sending him, giving him letters and stuff, notes and stuff up under there, and saying, I want to go home. We want to go home. We are trapped here. So the senator was like, what? And it started being a big, they wanted to go home with the senator. So some of the people was trying to go get on these planes and stuff. That's how it started. And they were like, we want to go home. Because they realized they was trapped in this, you know, Guyana, this place, way, you know, far from home. And so they were, the senator was walking. A lot of them was coming. To make a long story short, he sent his goons to shoot at the planes and all the shots, killed the senator, killed the people who was trying to go, and everything. So it was a mess. And then after that night, he gave them all, told them to drink all cyanide, forced them to, and they all died. And I was thinking, man, this is interesting. I'm saying to myself, now, I really have to leave this church. This gave me my okay. No, this gave me my confirmation, and it gave my brothers and sisters. Did my mom leave? No. My mom was invested. She was still there. She was like, y'all going to church? And I ended up saying, Mom, no, we're not going to church. You know, but I went through a lot of stuff after that. I went through guilt, and I thought I was going to go to hell. God was mad at me and everything, but something inside of me was saying, no, this is not what God wants. But I still feel guilty. You know what I'm saying? And so I want you guys to pay attention to your life, your religion, whoever you with. What, I don't even care what it is. I don't care who's telling you. He's the priest of the priests. I don't care. He was sent by God. What is he saying and what is he doing? What is he doing? And you'll know it and you'll have a feeling on it. If he's doing fine and he's blessing everybody and having miracles and healing, fine. Continue. Be with that mission. Bless that mission. Pray for that mission and go along with it. It's the right thing for you to do. Examine everything. I don't care if they're talking with a Bible saying that he had a Bible. The bishop, I'm not going to name his name, had a Bible. He knew the Bible back and forth. So that don't mean anything. Your action is what means everything. And what you say out of your mouth is truthful. And what does it do? Is it enhancing life? Is it increasing peace, love, healing, happiness? You know, are you speaking the truth from the Bible truthfully? Are you speaking the word and are you living it? Or you just want control? And a lot of people do. They'll get in church. There'll be a preacher to control and get money. They said it was a good gig. I'm not saying everybody, because I told you about it's not everybody. I'm just talking about the crooks, the ones who want power. I'm talking about them. And eventually they will see themselves and probably try to find God. I don't know their story. I know what happened to me, and I know what's happening to a lot of people. And that's why I say your religion failed you. God did. God never failed us. He never failed you. He is before all of this. He'll be after all this. You just need to know how to tap in and hear his voice. And like I said, I always say meditate. We meditated then, but that wasn't real meditation. I believe that was some crap. But I'm saying I found out how to really meditate and tap in myself. And that's why I said it's experiential. You have to find your spirituality yourself. You can't let somebody tell you that this is this and that. Find it for yourself. Even in the Bible, find it, read it yourself, whatever. Examine everything. Don't take it for their word. Because they're the bishop or they're the you know, preacher. And even if they are enlightened, you got God in you as well. If they pray for you, fine, and everything work out fine. But you know you can pray for yourself and get answers from God and the angels, get messages from God. You know that you can stay still and know that God is here and now. And prayer. And get your answers for yourself. Get your spirituality for yourself. Don't let it be known that just because you were brought up that way, that that's necessarily the religion that you're supposed to be in. If it is and it agrees with you and agrees with your fear, spirit, fine. Fine. But if it doesn't agree with you and there's something about it that you don't feel right about, you feel in a certain kind of way, and you don't even have to be doing nothing wrong. But if in your spirit you feel like I should be growing, I'm not growing in this church, anything, you can't feel guilty about it. I've been in this church ever since I was two. I don't want to, you know, you are so invested, or invested with the preacher, invested with the pastor. Everybody's so invested with them. They believe in something they can't see. They don't believe it. They got to believe in something they can see. And the preacher is that for them. Not talking to all, but I'm talking to a certain amount of them. The preacher is it. The preacher is God for them. They can see him. He's speaking the words. He's sounding good. He's saying everything. But what else is he doing? And you put a blind eye to it. You know what he's doing. You still bring your kids to this church. You know you don't really half-hearted believe it. It's a lot of scamming. It's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm not getting into that. And it's a lot of things that's going on beautiful in churches, that they really are building people up and really are homeless people and giving them food and doing the right thing. It's always that and it's always the other, okay? And it looked like it's like that in parallel with most situations. You just got to find out. I'm just saying don't be blind like my parents were. Eventually my mother left, but she left in her own time, and I could see why she left. She had to get herself and spirit together to leave the church. She eventually left behind us, a little bit behind us. But she was still conflicted. She felt guilty for leaving. We felt guilty. I had to do a whole, God had to really release a lot of things. I had to do a lot of work on myself. Because guys, I'm telling you, when I attend church, I still have some problems with some. Ain't gonna be nothing wrong with the I attend to them, and nothing was wrong when it was just me. I've had problems myself. You know, I just saying I don't really want to join if they start pressuring me. Now I'm sitting, I'm enjoying myself, but then the lady sitting beside me or whatever, the usher, when she started badgering me, I'm fine while I'm, praising God and enjoying church. But when that certain person or people, I don't know, ushers or whatever, they start talking to me and start wanting to pressure me and telling me I'm going to hell and this and that, and telling me, it makes me feel some kind of way when you start pressuring me. You need to come join this church. And if you don't, this, that, and other, So I had some issues, to be honest with you, that I had to go through. And that I'm going through still, I didn't even know. Because the Guyana thing came up, guys, reason why in my spirit I'm talking about it now, it really came up last weekend. And guys, I was watching it. I said, this is the Guyana. And I watched the whole story. Do you know, before that story ended, I was in tears. That let me know that I still had work. I still had some kind of feelings and that need to be released. I was crying after that program because, I was saying to myself, I'll never let nobody control me. I'll never let nobody have control of my mind. And so it upset me, and that's what let me know. You know what? You worked on this, and you're still releasing some things from the past. You're still releasing some things from the past. And I just wanted to say that religion that wasn't right failed you, and God never did. And you say, well, why did God let this happen? Well, we are down here with people that's choosing to do things. Now, the church itself started out that it was supposed to be the right thing for you, the right thing for people to worship and stuff like that. But God didn't tell these people, whoever they are, to get in greed and get in their mind and get drunken. It's the people who put them on a pedestal and started praising them and giving them all their money and giving them all their trust and whatever it is, plates of food, just praising them beyond where they're supposed to be. And that's what starts it, I'm telling you. He could have started out a certain kind of way, but I need you to pray for me, Bishop. I need you to, everybody, all these groves of people, oh, they need me. The preacher said, oh, they need me, the bishop. Oh, I'm sold. And they forget about God. They forgot what their assignment was, the mission was. They just drunken with power. And so they feel like they become God. Okay? And then they start. But they're not going to ever do the right thing with this power. Never. If they're coming from that way. Because some people are powerful and they're going to do the right thing. I'm not saying that. So we're not talking about the people that's doing the right thing. I'm talking about the people who's coming from a crooked way or came that way. And I'm telling you why, in a lot of ways, is because the congregation is so invested. They're not so invested in God. They're so invested in the church. Church is an organization. Okay? And I ain't got nothing against it. It might seem like and I may be. I probably need, y'all need to probably pray for me. Still, I ask that you do. But I'm just saying, you know, they're so invested in the church, they're not invested in God that way. You need to be invested in God. That God is my all, my source. He's my supplier. The divine is within me, and reach and pray on that, meditate on that, or whatever way you deal with God, but you know that that's your supplier, that's your God. And that you get in contact with him and tap into him at any time. And that you can go inward and get guidance from God yourself. Not saying that you can't get it from, you know, anyone else, but you need to experiment. You need to experience God yourself, your own spirituality yourself. Be conscious of that. Be conscious of the God and the Christ consciousness that's within you. And so I'm trying to make a point because that's where I was at. That's where my family was at. And that's where I'm never going to be. I'm not going to be brainwashed just because this is the bishop of all bishops. This is the priest of all priests. This is the whoever is all whoever. I know the God is, I know who I am. I know I'm the divine being. And I'm saying I'm knowing at the extent where I'm still not learning who I am, but I know to the point where that if I need to find God, I need to, if one with God, and I need to find answers of God, I can find it within myself. And that's what I want you all to know. Gotta breathe. I can find it within myself because I was traumatized by that when I was a kid. And I had to seek my own spirituality, and I had to get to know God, the true God, in a truthful way. And you say, what is that? God is not going to lead you in these directions. He's not going to lead you wrong. Your intuition is not going to lead you to do things that is of greed like that and treat people that way. If they're leading you, that is not of God. You're going to have that peace and harmony. You're going to feel that harmony within your body, in yourself. God exists in all things. So you have to know that. You have to know the people that you're around. It's nothing but ego that traps the people. They probably once did try to do well. I mean, you know, you have to pray for them and release all that. Know that God is, but you can see it on internet. You guys know. You guys know that I'm telling truth. It's more prevalent than all. But I'm just saying, investigate, examine. Your life, examine your spiritual life, and examine if you're religious, examine your religion. Is it still telling you after years what you know, trying to get or growth in your growth? And if you need to, it may not be cussing you out of it, but like I said, if you need to go to another church or go somewhere else or be where you need to be to grow, then move. I'm just saying, don't feel guilty about it like I did. And my parents did. And you just was I just say we were paralyzed, you know. And I was traumatized and paralyzed in one way. It's like, where do we go? But you're forgetting. Where do we go? We don't have nowhere to go, so we just stay. My cousins are still in there right now. It's a whole lot of people are still in that church. Is still going on. And I'm not saying the person who's running, because the person, the bishop, that was over when I was there, he passed away. And there's another one. And I believe that God renewed this other one. I think he knew the mistakes of the other one. And his church, I believe, is renewed in ways, you know, from what my cousin says, you know, that they're doing things differently. Whatever. I'll never attend. I'll be honest with you. I'll never attend. And I have resistance when she come and to come to Chicago for the same conference that she came for years. And she'll visit me and she'll say, Karen, you need to come to the youth conference. You need to come. I said, Lisa, I'm not going to the youth conference. I'm not going to the church. I can live without that. And I know I need to work on different things, but I don't have to go. This is my choice. This is my life. I know where God is. I don't have to. And so my thing is, and what I want to say tonight is that we need to investigate our own spirituality. Excuse me. We need to investigate ourselves, examine everything for ourselves, not for what our parents told us, because we were young. We had to be born in something. But whatever your parents told you and you in agreement with now, but make sure you're in agreement, because you just, that's all you know. Because that can make you in trouble too. If this is all you know and I'm in agreement, no, agreement, because you really study and you really examine it. Know that it was for you and it's for you now. It may not be, or it may be. It's not a bad situation if you still in something that your parents had, if it's for the highest good. Okay? If it's for the highest good and you're doing good, fine. It's a great thing. But I'm talking about when it's tugging at you, you know something wrong, everything around you is bad, this preacher is acting up, and everything or whatever, it's seeming like it's suspicious. You know how you feel in your spirit. Don't shut that down because you're in church or because you're in wherever you are. Even if you're, I don't know, not in church and you see something, don't shut it down. Don't try to hide it, because when you hide it and you have your sick secrets, it always come out sick on the outside. And whatever it is that you're trying to avoid, it always come and follow you. And so you have to address it. Is this where I want to be? Is this where my spirit want to be? Am I growing? Am I getting what I need from this church or this organization? You know, what's next for me? What's the best thing for yourself in your own spirituality? And you have a right to. It appears like sometimes it's not, you know, you don't have a right. You've been born here. You've been born in it. And that this is the way it is. No, question that. No, it's not the way it is. Because God, Christ consciousness, is where it's at. It's not the building. It's not any of that. It's the vibration. It's the highest vibration. It's God. It's Christ consciousness. Or wherever, the universe, whatever you want to call it, is God. God is. God is all things. So you have to know that this is where you're looking for. You're not looking for, but you're looking for God. You're looking for clarity. And if that preacher is not in there to increase your peace, increase your happiness, your healing, love, and then talking in ways that, you know, get us to wake up. You know how preachers do. They do. They get you started, and they saying the right things, the right words. Yeah, you know, and they're on the right path. Okay, I don't have nothing problem. And they, God do deal with them. He do deal with the preacher or whoever or the priest. You know, that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying examine all of it. Make sure you're invested in God, invested in Christ, and that you know this is the right thing for you. And question everything. And so that's what I wanted to present to you guys tonight. I want to let you know my next show is June the 26th, 2021, Saturday, 8 o'clock. Central Time. I love you guys. Explore your own spirituality. I love you guys, and good night.